sounds like we have a full house, and the full house consists of Shan Faree, Dr. Vanessa Comley, and Dr. Nombuso Mtetwa. And the subject of the conversation today at 3:30 on a Wednesday afternoon is where to from here with regard to the saga at Netcare Albolito. You probably are aware of the fact that there is a huge amount of controversy at the moment. The concern is that with the phasing out of the neonatal care, or the treatment of pregnant women and little ones, from a perspective that the community needs these services, and certainly the good doctors that are with me here are very much part and parcel of the services currently on offer. And Shan Faree is a concerned mother and an influencer of note with a massive following. And Shan, possibly a good idea is for you to kick off the conversation with why you are drumming up a head of steam in response to what is happening at Netcare. Possibly you can tell us what's happening.
Dave, sure.
At Netcare Albolito Hospital in Bolito.
Yes. So, I mean, what is happening is, I think the four pediatricians and five obstetricians last week Friday were given notice that their leases would not be renewed next year. And so from May 2023, there will be no maternity ward, no gynecologist specialists, and no pediatric ward for us to take our children to.
And that's your concern, obviously, because, well, you're a young member of the community with kids, and these are services that are vital to the well-being of a community, any community.
Yes.
Maybe at this point in time be a good idea to introduce Dr. Vanessa Comley. You're a pediatrician, and Dr. Nombuso Mtetwa, you're an obstetrician, so you're both actively involved in the subject at hand, and you're most directly affected because your livelihoods are kind of in a way on the line here. You've invested tremendously in building practices, you've established reputations and a network, and a great deal of support from the community, and this seems to be in jeopardy. Have you engaged with the authorities at Netcare Albolito to look for alternative solutions to the current situation? And possibly, from your perspective, how much sense does it make to get rid of what is obviously a vitally important service or services to the community in favor of an equally important service? Mental health is what they seem to be focusing on, rather than pediatrics and the subjects at hand. Let's start with you, Nombuso, if I may call you Nombuso. I prefer first names; it's much friendlier. From your perspective, this must have come as a bit of a bolt out of the blue. But is there a middle ground that we could be aiming towards?
Thanks for having us here. I must outright say it's not an easy time for us. But we just want to thank the community.
Yeah, the community's been extraordinary.
For the support.
And I think it's only just beginning. It seems to be building ahead of steam. I believe there's a large peaceful protest being planned for tomorrow outside the hospital, not on hospital ground, but just outside the school that is the neighboring a piece of property. I'm just cutting away from you for a moment because I can see you're very emotional, and quite rightly so. So then, Vanessa, maybe you can come in with, from your perspective. Now, you're a medical professional. How long have you been at Netcare Albolito?
So I moved across from state practice about 3.5 years ago, and it's just been beautiful. Beautiful to see this community grow, beautiful to see my practice grow. And, you know, you're correct, Dave, you alluded to our livelihoods, but remember, we're also part of this community. Mm. So as much as it's our livelihoods at stake, more importantly, it's a service that we believe this community needs. Mm. Maternal and child health is such a vital part of any community. We're all mothers here. These are our children that access the same healthcare services. So we're all quite confused. We firmly believe that the need is there, and I think the public outcry is testimony to that. The need is there. I don't know where to from here was one of your questions, and what sort of middle ground there is.
Okay. It's a pity. We tried desperately to get a representative from Netcare to join us, and hopefully before the end of the week we will, because there are so many questions I'd like to ask them, and obviously we're only giving one version of events, and like so many things, there are shades and there are many sides to a story. But essentially what strikes me as odd is that one of the reasons that in a recent release to the media they gave for the closure of the neonatal, I'll just use that term to cover the pediatrician, all of the practices, the professional practices that you're involved with. They say that it was an underutilized resource in the sense that they were initially, they said no children were born in the sort of 2 years during the COVID pandemic at the hospital, which subsequently proved to be incorrect, and they withdrew that statement. So there obviously were children born at the hospital, and there obviously was a need for the services that you offer, because quite clearly you wouldn't be in business if there wasn't. That's the end of the story. So from where you're sitting, that must have come as a bit of a bolt from the blue, reading that in fact the hospital felt that there was not much call for the services that you provide. And clearly there is. How busy are you?
Yeah, so, you know, my practice is still growing, and I am fully booked on most days. That's obviously an outpatient service. A certain percentage of those patients will require hospital admission. And I think in the Netcare statement, they state that 1 in 5 children who present to the hospital, I'm assuming that means via their casualty, I don't want to talk on their behalf, they will require overnight admission. So there's definitely a need. Whether that need needs to be serviced in the way it currently is, that's a debate that needs to happen. So whether units need to downscale is a separate conversation, but the need is there. It's okay. Not that the need isn't there.
So now, as a layman, asking the question, well then why don't you just go somewhere else?
But there isn't another hospital in Belito, Dave.
You know, and again, simply putting it as a layman would, without understanding the intricacies, why can't you just creatively establish a viable alternative?
So I think the first thing to consider is, do we all just go to another hospital? So for instance, there are surrounding hospitals. They are not in Belito. They are not part of our community, but they are certainly outlying. The question there is there capacity in those facilities? So the question of capacity comes into play. The question of emergencies, the question of resources being available to a community who's depended on them and grown to know them is another thing that needs to be addressed. And maybe the moms can shout out a bit more here. You know, for certain emergencies, it's not feasible to drive 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes to reach a point of care.
Ah, but now the hospital says, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they say they are still going to administer emergency care to pregnant women and little children in an emergency situation. So they're not going to turn anyone away. They're just not going to open wards for a period of time to convalesce, etc. That's not really part of their business plan. So in a sense, what they're saying is no one is going to die as a result of the closure of this section of the hospital. But my question to you is, wouldn't it be viable or feasible for you as a collective group of professionals to either approach another hospital group or a professional investment group to say, this is the need, this is the service we provide, this is the community that we operate in, it's a wealthy, viable, growing community. This hospital group has seen fit to concentrate on possibly a more lucrative medical sector. And this is a great opportunity to establish a world-class neonatal facility in a growing, one of the few growing towns in the country.
Absolutely. We would love nothing more. I mean, at this point, there's only two things that are clear: a community that has a need and a group of people who would love to serve that need. All the red tape in between is where it gets a bit tricky.
Okay, now that's what I'm getting to now. It's not as easy as opening a restaurant, for example.
No. Funding, licensing is a big one. So you would need to have a license to be able to admit overnight patients, which is not as simple as sending in a piece of paper. The assessment happens and it comes back in a few days.
Is there a moratorium on licenses, or feasibly would it be a possibility to apply for a license? I believe it's a 3-year-plus type program, but is the fact that there is an existing hospital or existing medical facilities in the area, does that not then prohibit a further license being granted?
If I can come in there, Dave.
Please.
Thanks. The licensing happens, there's a radius of kilometers around which certain licenses for certain medical institutions and licensing, for example, for obstetrics or pediatrics, can be issued. So in this instance, the issue is, you know, even if there was investors in Balitos who suddenly want to do something, as Vanessa alluded to, is a feasibility of how quickly that happens and getting that license. So with currently the way we stand, and as put through across in the media statement that there would be availability of taking care of the service in emergencies, it means, I mean, that again, that raises the questions of the licensing. So
So it's not a question that you won't get a license, but it would be not a guarantee.
If I'm mistaken, I think, Vanessa, there is limitations to what radius. For example, if within the 15 to 20 kilometers here, yeah, we have a licensing for this kind of service, the next licensing, you know, there's demarcations according to licensing.
Right.
You know, the specifics of that, I'm not 100% sure in terms of what radius. Mm. But that's what the Department of Health issues.
Okay, so
based
it's a big
on.
Red tape issue, so, and right now
it's a big
you've
red
got
tape.
Pregnant women and little kids that need services that need to be looked after, and in the interim, for the next 3, 4, 5 years, while one works through the red tape, what happens then? So
and
that's
this is
the question:
a big thing.
What happens? What happens now? What are your plans going forward? Should Netcare be intransigent in that they refuse to find a compromise? Because I think this is ultimately what we're looking for, Shan. I'm sure that is your first prize scenario, is to get these business people to see the light. Ultimately, here is the situation. There is a kind of responsibility to shareholders to make a profit. We understand that. And it's a private hospital in business to make a profit. We understand that. But there's also a reputational value to the brand.
Absolutely.
Which is important. It's almost more important than the financial viability of the brand, because if you damage that, that has, I think our friends at Dis-Chem have discovered what the occasional slip in PR does to the reputation of the brand, and ultimately has a direct effect on the profitability, the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So with that having been said, one always goes for a middle ground compromise. Have you approached, or have you considered approaching, the decision makers at Netcare to say, let's bash out a compromise here?
Dave, so I haven't personally yet reached out to anybody at Netcare. The petition is running. We are on 11,000 signatures. Which has been amazing, and change.org have been in touch with me to say they will assist with getting this petition seen and heard by the decision makers, by Netcare, and then also helping lobbying against whatever government regulations have taken place that have allowed this kind of decision to even take place in the first place.
And what you're going for is exactly what we're talking about, is a compromise to say, understandably, you are profit driven and we have no argument with that, but there's also a duty of care to the community. Mm. It's working well at the moment. Mm. Why break what is working well? Augment if you need to go that route. And there's no doubt an opportunity in mental health. It's a major concern right now.
Mm.
But I would imagine the first prize would be a healthy compromise that says, let's continue with the services that we offer and then expand into the mental health arena as and when we can.
Mm.
Would that then solve the current impasse? Would that be a solution that you'd be all looking towards?
Yes, Dave. You know, the major thing is not having an interruption of access to such an essential service.
As it stands at the moment, they've given you
until the
middle of next
year. Which is what it looks like. That,
yeah.
You know, what happens in a couple of months, as you say, there is this space and time required and red tape and things to go through, which, you know, realistically cannot happen in a short space of time. So all we would like to see as a group of professionals offering these services is not an interruption to such an essential service to our community. And, you know, that's what we need. And we need to get to a point where that can be. You know, we're not suddenly having availability and no turn, no option, no route. So, you know, to kind of bridge whatever other big plans are there.
So just to reiterate, from the layman's perspective, and I'm definitely in that layman's perspective group, it makes very little sense to remove a service, a medical service that is obviously needed in a community like this and well supported in a community like this, if it is producing results for the hospital group. And presumably it has done so, although possibly not as spectacular in terms of financial return as the mental health opportunity, because I believe certain medical aids won't cover, certain of the lower medical aids, lower contribution medical aids, don't cover pediatrics and obstetrics as much as they do mental health issues. I believe that's a possible issue that they've been looking at. And certainly the duration of stay that is often the case that is required for mental health cases is much shorter than the average duration of stay for a healthy birth, for example. And so one can understand that there are certain requirements that they've been looking at in terms of how can maximize the return on their investment here. Ultimately, though, from a local community perspective, to have a fully functional hospital is a major attractor to any town. And Ballito is one of the jewels in the crown of brand South Africa. It's one of the few towns that's growing, that's viable, that's exciting. It's a sort of aspirational situation for so many folk trying to move out of the smoke and the depression of bigger cities up country. And therefore, if we lose that jewel in the... if we lose an aspect of it, and obviously care for young children and young families is what we're talking about here, is core critical when it comes to the decision to where to move. Let's move to Ballito because schools, hospital, you know, all the other beautiful places to live, the sea, etc., etc. But medical care is paramount. And so many folk have made the decision because there is a large, well-thought-of hospital group right here, which seems to be, at the moment, damaging their reputation, scoring an own goal, if I might just add that. Yes.
I think, Dave, you raise a very pertinent point there, is that El Bulito has always been a community hospital.
Yes.
We are not in a large city centre where services are segregated. We're a community hospital offering a very all-encompassing healthcare, very holistic healthcare across multiple disciplines. And to lose that would be sad.
Indeed.
I mean, that's a bit of an understatement.
Now, the reason I just couched the scenario as I did is because it affects everyone. It's not whether you have kids or, you know, you're in the market for having kids, or, you know, older folk as well have a stand to lose as much in terms of the investment value of their place in the sun here if the hospital was to lose these services. So everyone is impacted by it, and it would be therefore incumbent on everyone to stand with you and to almost force a situation where at least common sense is brought into the picture, not just hard-edged economics. There is the opportunity tomorrow to join in that Rise Up movement, join with them, and I'm sure, Shan, you and your thousands of followers will be rallying to the cause. We are encouraging you, if you care, to get involved. What time is that?
It's at 4 p.m., Dev.
Peaceful protest happening. 4 p.m., and apparently you're encouraged to wear black.
Yes.
As a sign of solidarity. So that will happen just outside Ashton International, in front of the hospital, for, I would imagine, a half hour or so, and an opportunity for you to meet the neighbors and to socialize and make new friends and to support a very worthy cause to retain the care, the neonatal care that is so core critical to the functioning of a happy society.
Dave, I just wanted to add from my perspective as a mom. There are two times, I think, in a woman's life where she is very protective and very emotional, and that's when it comes to her children. We're now taking those two functions out of our local community, and it's not just Albelito saying you can still come to the wards and someone will take care of you. We're losing the specialists that we know. We're losing specialists that know our children. I've had all three children birthed at Albelito Hospital. I know my heart is in that hospital as much as that hospital has been in my family's heart. To take that away from mothers, fathers, parents in this community is just beyond belief. It's not as easy as just saying, I'm going to drive 30 minutes to just, you know, my child is heating up. I need to see the person who knows my child. It's a highly emotional place.
Yeah, you want to know that help is on the doorstep.
And your person is there.
Yeah. I all I can say is I'm astonished at the response, positively astonished at how many people in the community have stood up and said, no, we're outraged and we want to make our voices heard, and I'm sure that tomorrow that will be the beginning of it. The petition, 10,000 and counting, where does one get to sign this petition?
It's on change.org, so if you search Netcare Belito, it should pop up. It is on my Instagram as well, on my Facebook page. It's been shared on the KDM group as well, Facebook pages and WhatsApp groups, community groups.
Yeah, it's a burning issue in the community. It's a burning issue in the wider community. And I would imagine that Netcare as a group will be looking at it long and hard, because I this is just from a reputational perspective, not good for business. And ultimately, everyone is striving for best business practice, and reputational damage like this is definitely not good for business. So we're hoping for a positive response, a compromise that is a win-win, and we can continue enjoying life the Belito way, knowing that there are medical professionals in our midst that have your best interest at heart. And ultimately, I suppose that is what the result we're aiming for and hoping for. So all it remains for me to do is to thank you all for joining me. And I must get the titles right. Dr. Nombuso Mthethwa, an obstetrician of note. Dr. Vanessa Comley, a pediatrician of note. And Shan Faree. Shan, of course, is the face behind so many good causes in the community. More strength to all of you. And thank you for joining me on the afternoon show.
Thank you so much, Dave, for having us.
Thanks, Dave. And thanks to the community.
This is Radio Life and Style. And here is Bill Withers, exhorting you to use him.
My friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me,
If you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.